Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
This is Katie Lear, your convention coordinator. I'm here to welcome you to the Employment Committee meeting. It's a beautiful day in Jacksonville, you guys. It's supposed to hit 96 degrees today, so we're really happy that we're inside enjoying the air conditioning. I'd like to thank ACB Media for giving us two Zoom rooms to help our convention. It's quite wonderful. Our monitor is Cecily Laney Nipper. Our host is Monica Zlopa. John Richards is monitoring our Zoom board in the back of the room. And I'd like to introduce to you Barbara Brown. She is the chairman of the Employment Committee. Take it away, Ms. Barbara.
Welcome, everyone, to FCB's Employment Committee program this morning. We have a wonderful program for you, and it involves several job positions, and we have live people here to present to you. And I want to turn it over to someone that's very, very, very helpful to those of us who are blind. Now, she's not blind herself, but she does have a disability, but it's not blindness. And she's been around us enough times and many, many years that she's just so knowledgeable about what we do and what we need. And so she comes to our need when it has to be. So I want to welcome our big city champion, and she will introduce herself to you.
Good morning, everyone. Doug just walked in, too, and Cheryl's here, too, so the rest of the panel's here. Okay. I'm Kara Tucker, and I serve as the Chief of Disabled Services and ADA Coordinator for the City of Jacksonville. I've been in that position since July of 2018, and welcome you all to Jacksonville here for the presentation. I was on this panel last year, but we had some different topics that we talked about last year. And so today we're going to talk about a little bit about why I left my job. So a little bit about myself. I know Ms. Barbara said that I have been around the community for years. I started with getting the James Brady Scholarship from the Disabled Services Division when I was 18, and then I joined the Mayor's Disability Council shortly after that while I was in college, and then went on to the Florida Rehab Council. And then we've also partnered with the Florida Rehab Council for the Blind there. And my very first job right out of college was at the University of North Florida, helping students with accommodations. And I know a lot of us are Ospreys. And with the proximity to the Florida School for the Deaf and Blind, also, and helping the students get their accommodations. So that was my very first job, and now I get to advocate with the government individuals here locally at City Hall and with the city council members, and we enforce the federal and state laws for individuals with disabilities. So I know for you all, it would be like the 508 compliance, and then we also have the Braille printers where we can make documents into Braille for everybody to be able to have access to the public meetings. And one of my favorite travel partners, Mikey, just walked in, your state president. He can definitely teach me to know where to go eat. We like to go eat after events and conferences. So we served on the Florida Rehab Council for several years together. Are you coming up here?
I'm coming in and whisper to Barbara.
Okay. So I like to, empower individuals with disabilities and breaking barriers and creating opportunities. And also, while I've been in my position at the city, we've also been able to have several different interns with multiple different disabilities that they were able to go on and work at Division of Blind Services or other places after they left our office. But and when I, every day is a different day at the office. No day is ever the same, and we never know what the issue is going to be. So it's not like you're just clocking in. You show up and you want to do a mission. Our staff is very dedicated to the community, and we take all of our advocacy seriously. And you have to walk with a purpose. Yes, I do walk with a walker because I was born 2 months early and weighed 3 pounds at birth. So let's see. Having a front row seat and watching, government transform with the different advocacy that's happened over the years. I was with the Americans with Disabilities Act signed in 1990, going on forward, you know, a lot has changed in 35 years. And on July 26th here in Jacksonville, we'll do our fourth annual Disability Expo. That was one of the things that was created by my team. And we'll bring that to the community with over 100 different vendors and different resources, cross disability as well. So. And then also, too, there's no greater reward other than knowing that you can work to change lives, because we're all in this together. And I know specifically with this community, when I came to the city and they came up with my city email, and Doug's trying to ask Barbara a question. But he also coined the thing, my email is carrot@coj.net. So when you use a screen reader, it comes across as carrot. So my nicknames, when I use the public transportation, they either call me carrot or they call me Kara from the city when we use public transportation. So thank you for coming up with that branding, Doug. So we always definitely, anytime they need something or they have to, you know, with the website or documents, I'm also the first person that they call, and we're happy to assist however we can. I even try to do sighted guide when I can, but walking with the walker, it can be a little bit of an adventure, but nobody's gotten hurt, so far. And it also helps me know my right from my left sometimes, because I have a beauty mark on my right hand, so that's how I know if I'm turning right or left when I'm driving the walker and doing sight again at the same time. So it helps me with my directions. Yeah, so, and, you know, and one of the motivational signs I have in my office is it's with disability, you're not really defined by it. It's not seen as a limitation, but it's a source of strengths, because we're stronger than we think and that we know. So, and I know one of the things that we're starting next week is an entrepreneurship program for individuals with disabilities. And Travis is actually in our first class. So that'll be exciting to watch. We had 28 applications for our first go around with that. We're partnering with our JSEB office and with Florida State College of Jacksonville to bring this program together that they can go through after the first year that they start their business and then apply for the different contracts as well. And it's an 8-week program where they can work on their business plan and their different pitches as well. And I know that with our disability community here in Jacksonville, we're very strong advocates. It's a big family. We may not always agree. Sometimes we agree to disagree, but we all are in it together, and we know that we have the best interests of the community at heart. So, and, you know, there were other advocates that came before me, and to be able to carry that opportunity forward for the next generation is definitely important. So with that, let's see, it's 9:54, so I guess I can go to Travis. Or did you have something else you wanted me to say, Ms. Barbara?
No, well, what I wanted, if anyone
questions?
Would like to ask questions of Kara, because see, we have 4 other people to go to, only 1 hour to carry this. So if you have any questions, we can take 3 questions. Okay, Kara, we don't hear any questions, so we will entertain our second guest.
Okay.
Because he has to leave. He has to get back to work. So
I'll turn it over to my other fellow Osprey.
And Travis. He will introduce himself also.
All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm Travis Brown, and I work at CIL, the Center for Independent Living. And that's one of my jobs. And at that location, I do information and referral. And like Ms. Tucker was mentioning, at the Ospreys, I am an Osprey. And when I was going to UNF, they had the Disability Resource Center. So I benefited from that program, and it let me know about tutors and stuff that I could take advantage of and to help me with my education. So at CIL, I do information and referral, and it allows me to kind of play that role in letting people with disabilities know what is available for them in the community, because a lot of the times it's a lack of knowledge you know, they just don't know what is out there to facilitate them to be their best, most independent selves. And, you know, I let them know about different programs. And the reason why I love it is because seeing the change in people's lives and the independence and the self-worth and the confidence come back is something that is rewarding in and of itself. So, you know, that's a large reason why I love my job. But also, the team at SIL, they're really supportive. I think it's like a requirement that like 51% of the board has to have disabilities or something like that. So, yeah, so the staff there is already, you know, very familiar with, you know, being accommodating to any, you know, needs that you might have. So me working there was honestly, I feel like, a piece of cake. It was kind of, I was kind of spoiled in that aspect, I think, because I've had other jobs where that was not the case, where they was like, okay, you're blind, you know, you're working here, we get a tax break for that, but how are we gonna, you know, how are we gonna do this? And I had to, you know, advocate for myself and say, I can do this job. I have to explain to them like what I'm capable of, the things, the tools I need to do that. But at SIL, I didn't have to do that. So they were already aware. It was very comfortable. The team is really supportive. They really have a heart for, you know, helping other people do that. And that's a large reason why I love my job, because I have a team of people around me who have that same desire to help others. Yeah, and there's a lot of programs there, so if you guys have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. If you have any questions about SIL or anything else
for me. About your entrepreneurship?
Oh, yeah, the entrepreneurship. Okay, so that's the reason why I had to leave here early, because I also do massage. So I have my own business. And I did the Bridges program, and now I'm going to be doing the program that Ms. Tucker talked about next week with the entrepreneurship. I'm trying to scale my business and, you know, pursue different avenues of income and start a product line. I have a lot of plans and stuff, but being plugged in with people, you know, in the community who's going to help me with my aspirations is also very helpful. So, yeah, part of being in the team with SIL, they gave me information. That's how I found out about this program. See, so I'm a beneficiary of the information at SIL as well, just being there.
And then tell them about what the Bridges program is.
Oh, I did say the Bridges, like everyone knows what it is. The Bridges program is part of the Jack's Chamber, and it's like a networking group, but they also give you a lot of information about just how to scale your business, building a business model, having, you know, just meeting different people, getting contracts, just, you know, different lingo with the business, you know, just, it's just a source of information and networking. It was really beneficial to me. I had a really good experience there. I just speaking from me.
Do you have anything else?
That's about it. Any other questions? Any questions for me?
Okay. Okay. You can go ahead and ask your question.
I was wondering, how do you find out about the entrepreneur program, and is it in Orange County and Seminole County?
You can answer that.
Yeah, I can answer it. So, it was a pilot program that we started here in Jacksonville with our JSEB office, and we're hoping that it will go statewide relatively soon, or at least the model, something similar to it. So, and we're going to work with the Florida Rehab Council, and then the Florida Rehab Council for the Blind, and some of the other state entities to hopefully have it go statewide later this year. But the information
when you get a chance, could you repeat the questions, because people on Zoom cannot hear?
Absolutely.
That'd be great. Thank you.
So the question was in regards to the entrepreneurship program that Travis asked about, and it is currently a partnership with the city of Jacksonville and our JSEB office, and we are working with our state partners to have it go into other counties, hopefully soon. So that is that hopefully it can become a state model for other counties as well.
How long is the program?
The current program is 8 weeks, once a week for 2 hours. And we're partnering with the Florida State College of Jacksonville as well for it. So once a week for 2 hours.
How do you apply?
So through our website right now, for if you're here in Duval County, would be jacksada.com. Under the entrepreneurship, there's an application online. The website is jacksada.com, and then there's a link for entrepreneurship program. And that's also for if you want to see any of the other programs and services that the city offers, or information about our Mayor's Disability Council, or if you need resources for the 508 compliance as an education for individuals, you know, when you all are making sure that things are accessible for your apps or website, we also have different trainings on there as well for them. And then for Travis, it's SILJacksonville. Is your website?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, SILJacksonville.org.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are there any other questions?
Okay, hearing no other questions, we will entertain someone that's very precious to me. Her name is Erica Turner, and she will tell you about her wonderful job.
Miss Barbara, can you get closer to the mic, please?
Okay.
So the next prisoner will be Erica.
Erica, you gotta go around the table.
So my name is Erica Turner. I'm a certified victim advocate with the Women's Center of Jacksonville. I've been doing that job for about 4 years now. The reason why I love my job is because I work with survivors of sexual assault, and I'm able to help them by empowering them to take back their lives after such a horrific event. I use a large screen at my desk. My job, my supervisor is very encouraging of accommodating me if I need anything. So that's about it. Is there any questions for me?
Any questions?
I got a question, Erica.
Yes.
What are some of the things that one could look for in someone that's a potential victim of sexual assault?
So, did everybody hear the question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, the things that you could look for is isolating themselves, not wanting to talk about it, and with that, all you can do is just be there for them. However, if they do reach out for help, we do have a 24-hour crisis hotline where they can speak to an advocate at any time of the day, even holidays. Also, we have free therapy and free support groups as well.
Erica, what is the accuracy on a response for that 24-hour hotline?
It's immediate.
We're talking about like in minutes?
Within minutes. So, are there any more questions?
Erica?
Yes.
Dad has a question.
Okay, Erica, the question I have is, what is the driving force that, what is the driving force within you that made you say, this is the kind of job I want to do?
So, the driving force was, I was looking for an internship while I was in college, and I happened to stumble across the Women's Center of Jacksonville. I had no idea that sexual assault was so prevalent in our community, and it just found me. The job found me, and I fell in love instantly. Yes, my job is tedious. It is emotional and mental at times. However, I walk away at the end of the day knowing that I help someone and by empowering them through their trauma.
Well, Erica, I want you to know, as your surrogate dad, I want you to know how proud I am of you. And I want you to know how proud the blindness community here in Jacksonville and as a whole and our chapter are very, very proud of you. And you just keep up the good work. Can we all give her a big hand?
Thank you.
Thank you, Erica.
Okay, Erica.
Congratulations, Erica.
Yes, and she's a very gifted writer,
Barbara.
So you'll know. Okay, now we have our next speaker. Oh, gosh, she's been around for many, many years. But she's very talented also. And she also works in Jacksonville. And I will allow her to introduce herself, but she's the one that, if you take transportation in Jacksonville, she's probably one of those that did your reservation for you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and she's very accomplished, very well known for being the best operator that the city has to have. So I would like to welcome Cheryl Spencer.
Here, here.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
That was quite an introduction, Barbara. I'm not sure I can live up to that, but give you a little background about me. I was graduated from the Alabama School for the Blind in 1976. Came to Jacksonville because I had heard about darkroom school here. So I went to darkroom school and worked as a darkroom technician for 8 years at Methodist Hospital here in Jacksonville. They had a massive layoff. 200 people were let go, and I was one of them. So that was pretty traumatic for me. So I'm thinking, okay, now what do I do? So I ended up in Daytona, and I went to computer school. Katie Lear, who I heard was here, with one of my instructors. So that was pretty cool to hear your voice, Katie. And so I went to the computer program and did not get another job until, oh, maybe 5 years later, I think it was. In the meantime, met my first husband and got married, and we moved back to Jacksonville. And then there was a company taking over the paratransit here in Jacksonville named Comsys. It goes way, way, way back. So, 1991 November, right thereabouts, I interviewed for the job. They didn't even have any furniture in the office. They were just putting together their crew. And he said, why do you want to work for us? I said, well, I can relate on the fact that I am blind. I can relate with a lot of the clients that will be making reservations. I have a computer that talks, that tells me the information. And I don't know what it is about me that struck him, but he said, you know what? I'm going to give you a chance. So you bring your talking computer and you come and we'll try, you know, we'll give you 20 hours a week, see how you do. I said, okay. So I got the foot in the door and started. Man, was I scared. The first call that I took of reservations, you know. But it worked out. I did my 20 hours a week. And then, you know, how it goes when people call in sick, they would always ask, Cheryl, can you stay a few more hours? Sure. I never said no. So I started in January of 2003. And by September, I was made full-time. So that was quite an accomplishment for me. We went through several innovations of software. It started out with the PS2 and Vert Plus, if any of you can imagine that. Then it went to ProDOS. And then from ProDOS, we went to Windows. So each time, I had to make a change and adapt and go forward and learn how to do it all over again, pretty much. And then when we went to, when Comptus lost the contract, MB got the contract from them, and it was a whole new ball game called Trapeze, which is the paratransit program that we're using. And thank God for Warren Lee, because he made me happen. He would not give up. He did scripting on that because it was a totally graphic program. He had to create all the text prompts for me. And he made it happen. And each update, he's been right there with me. And I told him, I said, when you quit, I'm quitting. Because it's not going to be anything left yet. But I love going in. I love making the reservations, talking to the people. I know Doug, Travis, Barbara, and pretty much everybody that makes reservations. And we'll, you know, I kind of go off the script a little bit when I get one of them and say, hey, how's it going? How's you doing at Pizza Hut? How are you doing at Sills? How are you doing with the massage? You know, it's really, you know, touching base with my clients and getting to know them. And when you answer the phone and they say, oh, I'm so glad you answered the phone, you know, that kind of makes your day. And, well, let's see, this year made my 33rd year. And people say, when are you going to retire? I said, well, you know what? I just don't know when to quit. So I don't know. But anybody have any questions?
Hi, this is Hershey from Daytona Beach.
Uh-huh.
I have a question about Trapeze.
Yep.
When this is a bit, well, I'm guessing you're going to use JAWS with it.
Yes.
And so with using JAWS with Trapeze these days, how do you find it with this accessibility? And do you find that, because mostly a lot of people in the state do use that in Orlando, MV Transportation, when I was in Orlando, they used it. Daytona Beach uses Trapeze, and you mentioned Jacksonville does too. So let's just say if some one of us wanted to get a job, how difficult was your learning curve? Was Warren Lee a necessary piece for that puzzle, or has things gotten better? And is it, like, what's that kind of entry of someone that's using JAWS in terms of your work?
Well, the scripts are there.
Okay.
Excuse me,
can you repeat the question for the Zoom room? Can the presenter repeat the question, please?
Okay. Hershey?
Yes, Hershey. And then the question basically is, with Trapeze, what is the ease of use while using JAWS?
Well, I've been doing it for so long, it's kind of hard to say. I mean, I had to actually, there was somebody up in Kentucky wanting to use Trapeze, so I had to go through and I wrote down all the commands that I use and what they do and sent them up to him. As far as I know, he's doing a good job. And Jody, I believe that's her name.
She's
works
still there in Daytona. Yes.
In Daytona, she also uses Trapeze and the scripts. So, but yeah, I have a script to read the home address. I have a there's another one to read the destination, the time, phone number, whatever I need to access to make sure the information is in there properly. And what's so cool about my job is it's really the most important job in the office, because everything that happens hinges on what the reservationist does. We key in the information, and what we do comes out with the driver. So if we don't do our job, he can't do his job. So it's my job to make sure that driver has all the information they need to pick up that client in the most efficient manner possible. Any other questions?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask if you would mention about your unusual guide animal that you used to use. I know you're probably known in Jacksonville for that. Talk a little bit about confetti.
Yeah, unfortunately, I lost my confetti. She was 23, and she had a very good life. She was very, very spoiled, and I miss her every day. But she was very unique, probably the first owner-trained guide horse in the country. And I used her, took her on planes, on boats, on the bus, paratransit, in a car, in a van. You name it, we went and did it. So, yeah. Any other question?
Cheryl, I have a question.
Okay.
Are there any tasks or aspects of your work that are particularly challenging due to your vision impairment?
Well, they just started doing Ready Ride in Jacksonville. Ready Ride is a zoned-based service. Basically, you can't use it if you're not within a certain zone. And that requires being able to look at a map. Well, no, I can't do that. These maps don't talk. You have to physically look at a map. So that, they took me out of that queue. So I'm just in reservations. So I'm still doing that. And it keeps me pretty busy. Anything else? Anybody else?
Cheryl, do you know if they still use the guide horse?
No, I lost her in December. No. I'm not going to get another.
Are they still being trained?
You know, I'm not even sure about that. I know that individuals have trained their own, and there was one lady up in Michigan that was training other guide horses, but it has just, you know, and it started out as an experimental program. And there are some pros and cons with everything, canes, dogs, you know, whatever. You're going to have pros and cons, but it just never caught on. And I personally loved it. And I loved whenever I took confetti anywhere, there was no fear factor. People were entertained by, like, wow, look at that. It's a horse. You know, so that was, and it was a lot of joy because they just enjoyed watching her. So it was pretty neat. I really loved having the experience.
I was amazed.
All right, anything else?
Question, Cheryl.
Yep.
How can the workplace or the system be improved to better support your needs?
That's a good question. They, you know, I'm a very outspoken, as you probably can tell. If I need something, I'm the first one to say, hey, you know. JTA and MV have been very, very good to me. So even though I gripe and complain a lot, I really can't complain because they go out of their way to accommodate my needs. So I have very, very few complaints in that department. All right.
Okay, now, well, if we have no other questions for Cheryl, and I can tell you Cheryl is really wonderful and she does know her computers.
I try.
She taught me how to use my first computer. And that's driving from one county to another one. So I was very pleased with that because I wasn't sure if I wanted to do that. But it worked out. So when I got my job and they told me that they would get my computer and everything for me, and they were using DOS. And I told them I hadn't used DOS in a couple of years, but I guess I could go back and learn it. So they bought everybody Windows. I felt good about that.
Jumping up.
But now we have a...
Barbara, you want the mic?
Yeah.
Yes, if you can hear me, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Barbara. Use the mic, Barbara.
Okay. There you go.
All right. Thank you for
all
the mic. Okay. One last comment for Cheryl. We, the city, Mayor's Disability Council of Jacksonville, when Cheryl was on her job employed for 19 years, we gave her a city award.
You got a microphone because we can hardly hear you.
Okay, I can talk louder now. Just have to kiss it a little bit, that's all. But we'll be okay. I said that the city of Jacksonville, when Cheryl was employed for 19 years on her job, we gave her a city award. And I'm told that just recently, her job has given her an award. So I think this is wonderful. Her job think that much of her. And I don't think they'd ever try to replace her. It would have to be up to her because I hear too many good comments about her. Now we have one additional speaker, and most of you know him. Once he gets started, you will know him. But those of you who do not, I will have him introduce himself. Here's your microphone.
Okay, I'm right here.
Okay, no, stay over there.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
In the mix. First of all, on Zoom, hello, Smiley.
Hello.
There she is. She knows who I'm talking about. And to everybody in the room, to our facilitator, Miss Barbara Brown, and to all of our guest speakers, thank you so much. This is Doug Hansard, a.k.a. to everyone in FCB and ACB as DJ Freshness, who has a call on Monday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. called A Message of Love in the Community and shares a facilitating call along with Lisa Motor City Kitty called Lisa's Living Room with DJ Freshness on Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. But that's not why I'm here. I am here to talk about why I love my job. And so here it is. A little bit of background from me. I am originally from the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection, Philadelphia, PA. Don't hold it against me. Go Eagles. Came to Jacksonville. Actually, this is my second tour of duty in Jacksonville. Originally came in 1995. And stayed for a couple of years, then went back to Pennsylvania and came back here in Jacksonville in 2000. In 2002, well, let me backtrack. In 1995, my first job here in Jacksonville was working for Yellow Cab as a... what do you call it? Well, I did do dispatch eventually, and I'm going to share with that. But originally, I was first a call taker. I was taking the trips. And then my supervisor at that time came up with this bright idea. And he says, hey, Doug, how would you like to be a dispatcher? And I'm going, what am I dispatching? And so he took me over to his little gizmo called the radio, and he says, do you think you can operate this? I felt it with my hands. I looked at it with my hands, and I'm going, you know, I could take a whirl at this. And so he trained me as being one of the first and probably the only blind dispatcher working at Yellow Cab at that time. And I enjoyed it. We were using JAWS and we were using the computer to take the trips just almost like Cheryl, taking reservations. And yet, whenever the system would go code red, which was they were out of the loop, they were out of service, then it was time to go what we call voice. That meant instead of the drivers receiving the trips over the computer in their cabs, we would have to go voice, and we would have to instruct the drivers where they were picking their passengers up and where they were dropping them off. I took pleasure in doing that for a while, and then in 1997, I left Jacksonville for family reasons to go back up to Philly. So when I came back to Jacksonville in my second tour of duty, I was seeking employment. My mindset and my attitude then was, I want to be an asset and not a liability. Yeah. I don't want to hold anybody up. By the way, I want to also say thank you to Travis Brown. That's my buddy T. Brown in the mix. Yeah. That was my mindset, to be an asset and not a liability. I never want to hold up the line. And I've said that then, and I even say it now. So, circa 2002, I went to this place called iLab, Independent Living for Adult Blind. That's what the acronym stood for. It is now known as VERC, V-E-R-C. And don't ask me what those letters stand for now, because I'm confused. Anyway, went there to learn this thing called JAWS. When I first heard about JAWS, and that was back in 95, I got scared. Because the first thing I thought of is, does it bite? Because if it does, it's not happening. Mm-mm. But I soon found out that it didn't bite. I soon found out that the acronym for JAWS stands for Job Access with Speech. I said, cool, I'm loving it. So I learned it. And lo and behold, as time grew on, I had a VR counselor at DBS, and I will never forget Miss Hubbard. And she had found this job for me working at Pizza Hut. My general manager at that time, she was from Germany, by way of Seattle, Washington, and she had been in Seattle. She had come in Jacksonville. She had been to Jacksonville about 6 months prior to when I met her. She said to me later, as I found out, I wanted to take a chance and do something that has never been done before. She said, I want to hire a blind person to take orders over the phone. Oh. I was it. Tag, you're it. And I felt that that was a challenge. But then it wasn't so much a challenge to me, because I had worked over the phones before, working for Yellow Cab. The challenge for me then was being a dispatcher. But then I reinvented myself, and I said, okay, I think I can do this. So I became one of the first blind individuals to work for the Pizza Hut firm or chain or whatever. I became the first one in Jacksonville, the third one in the state of Florida, to work as a person, a CSR, over the phone to take orders. And I've been doing that. I've been at Pizza Hut. I started in November of 2002, and I am still currently there now. I'm on my mini vacation now because I'm here. But I am currently still there now. What I love about my job being a CSR is I am an engaging person, as you probably can tell by now. I love people. I love to engage with people. And like Cheryl, Sometimes I'd get off script. Matter of fact, just a secret before you, I never followed a script. I learned it and what have you. And whenever I train individuals, even now, I tell them, be yourself, because there's only one you. Everybody else is taken. Sorry, Charlie. Okay? So that's what I do. My main thing that I try to get across people is that you should have a passion for what you do. Because if you don't have a passion for what you do, you're going to be known as a quote-unquote slackers. Are there any slackers in this room?
No.
I don't see any, and I can't see for looking. Are there any slackers on Zoom? I don't hear any. So that's my whole aim. Have a passion for what you do. Now, you'll never know about what you can do unless you give it a try. And I tell this to even all of our new potential drivers for paratransit. But how do you know if it's for you if you at least don't give it a try? And if you discover it's not for you, you're not a failure, because there is no failure in this room. There is no failure in you. And the basic thing I like to say, there is one word that everybody knows me for. That is woo. Can somebody say woo?
Woo.
That's what's up. Now, I'm going to tell you what those three letters stand for. W-O-O. They stand for window of opportunity. When you become employed anywhere, it is your window of opportunity. But guess what? That window doesn't stay open long. Grab it, seize it, take it, take it by the bullhorn, and be the best you that you can be, because this is your window of opportunity. Woo. And so that's my thing. Now, though the apparent company has changed software, so now I'm not any longer, or at least for right now, taking orders over the phone. Would like to, but corporate seems to think otherwise, and I don't want to get into that because it's all about what I love. And what I love is being around people, and I love the teammates that I work with. I'm sort of like the granddaddy to all of them, because I'm the oldest one in that store, even older than my manager. So they all kind of look up to me. Some of them call me Gramps. Some of them call me Pops. I just tell them, don't call me too late for dinner. Whatever you do.
There you go.
Okay? And I love them. I love the camaraderie we have. We have it's like a family atmosphere. We look out one for another. I look out for them. They look out for me. Whenever they change the store, I tell them, I don't care what you do in this place, but please don't move the floor. Ain't having it. You move the floor, we are in Hooterville, there is a problem. But I love my job because I love the people that I work with. My manager even told me, she said, Fresh, whenever it is that you feel you want to retire, you are here for as long as you desire to be here. Like Cheryl, people ask me, when are you going to retire? And I tell them, whenever God tells me, time to sit it down, that's when I'll do it. But until then, as long as I'm able to put my clothes on, and as long as I'm able to put that uniform on, and as long as I'm able to put one foot before the other, I am going to show up. So you say, okay, so now that you're still at your job, so what do you do? Hey, Patrick, I'm glad you asked that question, because I can tell you got that look. Okay, so here's what I do. Yes, I fold boxes. Anybody can do that, but yeah, I do it. And I fill up that store so much with boxes. They tell me, hey, Fresh, cooling on the boxes, because we ain't got nowhere to put them. That's all right. They'll be used. But I also have the advantage of doing something that nobody else ever in the past had given me to do, and that was to do prep. I prep the hand-tossed dough. I prep the stuffed crust dough. I prep all of that. Sometimes my hands get a little cold, yeah, but it's okay. I love it. And even with the boxes, and like I said, I enjoy people, but I tell people, you know what I love about boxes and doing the dough? And they'll say, what? And I'll say, it doesn't talk back. But other than that, I love to be engaging with people. I'm a people person, as you well know. And because I do love my job and the people that I work with, I look forward to going to work. Just one little story. There was a person who called the Pizza Hut. And at the time, she was looking for another phone number. At the moment, as I was talking to her, I sensed that there was something wrong with her. So I asked her, I said, honey, I'm not trying to get into your business, but you don't, you sound like you're not doing too well. Are you okay? So she was a little reluctant, but she sensed that I meant and I was caring. Long story short, when I told her, well, listen, it's not the end of the world. You're going to be okay. You're special. I was really trying to encourage this lady. So fast forward, I'm still taking orders. And at this moment, it was very busy. We were slammed. But I took a moment to take the time to talk to this woman, and little did I know, she called back and she wanted to speak to my manager. I transferred the call over to my manager. A few minutes later, my manager comes back to my workstation. She hugs me around my neck and I'm going, uh-oh, what did I do? This is a chokehold here. But what she said was, Doug, the woman you just transferred me over to said that she wanted to thank her for the person who answered the phone because she said that she was on the verge of committing suicide and I stopped her from committing suicide. So it's more than pizzas, breadsticks, wings, 2 liters, cheese sticks, cookies and brownies and ad infinitum. It's all about life.
Yes.
It's all about caring. So each and every person I got a chance to talk to on the phone, or each and every person, there was one person, she didn't know I was blind. And I've been taking her orders for years. So it just so happened to be, I came from behind my workstation and I was going up front. And so I heard her say, you're blind. I said, I think I am. And then she said, you're black. And I looked at my hand and I said, does anybody have a black crayon? Because I want to see if this pairs up with. And so the thing about it is that people matter. And for those of who are here and that have ever heard me say it in our chapter as chapter president, I will always end our meetings by saying more. And I've said this long before the phrase Black Lives Matter. But I always say, you matter. You not only matter to me, but you matter to the God that serves you. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Are there any questions from the room?
And you have about 2.5 minutes.
All right. Didn't mean to take that long. Any questions? I saw your lips move.
Yeah, my birthday's coming up. Can I get a free pizza?
Oh, ooh, wee.
When is your birthday? Sunday.
Well, happy birthday. I'm not going to be there. I'm going to be here. Any questions on Zoom?
There are no questions on Zoom.
We got 2 minutes. Well, I also want to say thank you to everyone. Thank you for Barbara allowing me this opportunity to share with you. It's been a pleasure. And remember this, what you are is God's gift to you. What you make of yourself is your gift to God. Choose your choice and let your choice control the chooser. Here's Mrs. Brown.
There you go.
Oh, I want to thank all the panelists because they were absolutely awesome. And I want each and every one of us to remember that when you're out there looking for a job, don't turn one down because you say, I don't want to do that. Okay, because you never know once you get on there that you may learn to love that job. I've done that because I honestly did not want to work with anybody's teenagers. Okay? I said, when they reach a certain age, they have to wear deodorant, and I don't need it. Okay. So, therefore, I actually have my own department. Nobody under it. No other workers to aggravate me because nobody wanted that job. And I do love it, and I love the results I get from the teenagers. So now, in saying that, I want to thank my employment committee and don't want to run over time by calling all their names, but most of them are here in the audience, too. We have a couple that had incidents and not able to make it here, but they will be here later tonight. It's not like they didn't try. They're trying, and they'll make it. So now I really, really want to just give a round of applause for them because they were absolutely awesome. Okay, so my committee will be very, very eager, energetic, because we're going to look for another program for next year. And we would like suggestions from you, the audience. Just pick up that phone, and I'm in the book, and call me. Just leave me a message or text me a message. It's even better, because I don't have to worry about writing it out. I can save it and put it down later. But we'd like, you know, things that you'd like to find out about employment, because we've done many, many employment things. We've done how to dress and how to interview and how to educate yourself for it and how to be your own employee, self-employment. So we want to know other things about employment that people can think of that they would be interested in. And, you know, one of our committee members, he said, well, why can't we just find out why people love their job? And so now we know. We know some of the reasons. Okay? And I want to thank each and every one of you. And thank you so very, very much.
Thank you. Yay. Thank you.